This is the Reading Aloud Podcast.
I'm Marisol Collette.
And I'm Adam Collette.
And you love us because we love you.
We sure do. And let's get to today's conversation.
We started with, we're like, what are we going to talk about today? And we have nothing. So then we got all these ideas. And instead of any of those, we're going to do, remember, Adam explains Star Wars.
That's right.
Adam explains Lord of the Rings. If you haven't listened to those episodes.
Very important.
They're very important episodes.
Very important, yeah.
We are doing Marisol Explains Something. Marisol explains life.
Yeah, I mean, you understand life better than anyone I know. And the way that you explain things, like the way that you describe food from a fast food restaurant, or the way that you describe what's just happening out in the world, is so brilliantly unique and also flippin' hilarious. So,
why?
Because you're just like, your analogies are funny. You're blunt and direct.
What's
and
an analogy? You like, this is like something?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like the way that you call Arby's vagina beef.
I sounded like a 20-year smoker just there with that laugh. Anyways, oh my gosh.
Yeah. No one does that. I mean,
but
maybe
it is.
Some people do. Sure, it is. But your analogies are funny. And you also, like, you are, and this is partially your family too, like, your first impressions are it. Like, if you have a bad experience somewhere, that's it. It's
that's
dead
it.
To you.
Yeah.
That is the way it is for the rest of eternity.
Yeah.
There is no flexibility
with
that.
I don't have time for any of that.
That's right.
What would be the benefit of giving somebody a second chance?
I.e., we are having this podcast.
What would be the benefit of giving somebody or something a second chance?
Because, like,
everybody deserves a second chance.
Well, everybody, yeah, I mean, there's that kind of approach. But also, there's just, like, there's a sense of, I don't know, nothing's going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so, working with something to, like,
in what world do you live in?
And so, just working with something to, like, you know, find what works with it, like, you know, if it doesn't work the first time, try again instead of just moving on to the next thing.
I don't understand. I live a great life. Do you think I'm missing out?
Listen, this is becoming...
Am I missing out on Arby's?
No, you're not missing out
on... I don't think I'm missing out on Arby's.
Arby's might not... I don't know. Again, you're putting me on the spot.
You know
I'm
what
supposed
I'm
to have the answers right now. I don't have the
Do you
answers
know,
for you.
I love it when you get really, like, stressed out.
Well, because you will drill down. You'll be like, what? No. Tell
no,
me.
No, no,
explain.
No. Oh, my God. This is... You're in a mood because this is not... This is... What is a conversation without, like, a little bit of punting back and forth? This is not a drill.
I'm punting them right back to you.
Great. And I'm... What is a conversation to you? I'm confused. This is something else is going on with you because I am not doing anything different than I normally do or weird. I'm asking you, like, so you're saying the first, you know, first impressions are everything, right?
And you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you're saying everybody deserves a second chance.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, okay, so what's the benefit of that? And I'm sorry you don't know anything.
I guess I'm trying to describe something deeper than, of course, I believe everybody does deserve a second chance and people have good and bad moments. And that also applies to people within a workplace and or a business and or something else.
You're talking about humanity.
I'm talking about humanity. Yeah. I'm talking about humanity for
cool.
people.
Cool. Well, I answered that for you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Come up with your own answers next time. Hey, you know what I'm missing out on?
What?
Hate chicken.
Explain more.
Chick-fil-A.
Uh-huh.
They hate the gays. This is what I'm missing out on as far as food goes. Now, I'm not going to... That's not my establishment. So, but I hear that it's really good. I had it once and it was like gluey, wet chicken on a bread. It
uh-huh.
was not good, but people love that.
Uh-huh. People do love it. Yeah. I mean, it is basically a chicken sandwich.
It is a chicken sandwich.
I think people just love a fried chicken sandwich is really what the case is. And Chick-fil-A makes it really accessible. Like, people don't love all the shit that they buy on Amazon. It's just really accessible and easy. And I think that's...
I know people who actively boycott businesses that aren't... that don't do the right thing and call Chick-fil-A hate chicken and eat hate chicken at least once a week. They like can't not. And they're big, big, you know, really socially active. Did you know that Trader Joe's is doing two things stupid?
I'm not up to date.
One is that, listen.
Their parking lots are too small.
One is their parking lots are too small. They do three things stupid. One, parking lots are too small. Two, this is hearsay. I heard it from one person, but that's my friend who's very, very up to date with these things, that they're firing people who are outright talking about Palestine, talking about ceasefire. They're like, this is not a workplace issue, and firing people for it. I don't know where in their you know, policies they say you can't get political, but that's what I heard. And then I couldn't really hear what she said on the Marco Polo, but they're doing something else. I could listen back, but I couldn't hear her. Yeah. But they're doing something else bad. So she's like, done. I can't go there right now.
Okay.
Until they make a change.
Well.
Gonna make a change.
Sing it, Michael.
Well, I don't remember it all of a sudden. Is this Man in the Mirror?
I'm talking. Yeah.
To the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to make a change.
I thought it was change his ways.
Change his ways. It's like one of my favorite artists, and it's a shame.
Yeah, okay. So Mighty Soul Explains Life.
Mighty Soul Explains Life.
Tell me, what is life? Start at the beginning.
Start at the top.
I know nothing about life. I need you to explain.
Starseeds come down.
Yeah.
So do you know what a starseed is? Like when somebody tells, you know, when somebody identifies as or somebody calls you a starseed?
I don't know.
A friend of mine said that her Reiki person said that she was a starseed. And she said it like it was a universal definition. Now, I've heard starseed before, but I imagine that's somebody with that is an exceptional person. You know, I think I'm a starseed, but I don't know what it means.
Great.
Okay. So people come in and there is a path. It's all from the cosmos, but there's a path.
Path.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you're at the fair, and there are the slides that are side by side, and you're on a burlap sack.
Burlap sack at the fair on a slide.
Is this
how high are these slides?
From the cosmos.
All the way from the cosmos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you
billions of light years?
Do you that
quite
shit
the,
takes
quite
me,
the steak fair?
That shit.
How many tickets does this cost?
One
ticket.
It's a big ticket.
Uh-huh. Let's talk about you and tickets in the state fair.
Why? I got one ticket.
Didn't you? Don't you have a story of you?
No. Don't go into that. All anybody needs to know is I'm banned from the Asheville State Fair. Since I was
good,
20.
The great state of Asheville.
Since I was 20. No, since I was like 20. Yeah.
Yeah.
19 okay. or 20. Okay. Right. I had forgotten about that. Okay. I can't go
just
back.
Just one ticket.
And, well, they're not all coming to the Asheville State Fair, so
yeah.
They're all over. But what, are burlap sack slides a Southern thing only? Can't be.
Never been on one.
What?
A burlap sack slide.
How do you get down the slide?
On my butt. What do you mean?
No, it's not. It's not a plastic slide like that.
It's a slickery slide. A potato sack race, like where you hop in the sack. I've never been.
And
on...
And you go down the slide?
No, never been down a slide.
No, hopping on the ground. No.
It must be a Texas thing.
What?
Well, life started probably in Texas for you. So yeah,
Texas is everything.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I mean, it is. It has all the temperations.
Yeah, all of them.
All the types. What's it called? The plains.
Climates.
The plains, the mountains, rolling hills, beach, desert.
The type of...
Forest, but not a jungle. They don't have a jungle.
Yeah, like landscapes or something. Like
are there any other ones? Other than jungle? At all the ones I said, and then general.
Well, it depends on how micro you get, but at a macro level, what there's is it an ecosystem? Is a
caverns? Oh, they got caverns.
We got them all. not that's not found in Texas.
that's what that, there was.
Wait, okay. So back to the burlap sacks.
Texas is an important part of the burlap sack. Okay. But everybody knows what I'm talking about, but you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get in your burlap sack. It's not, you don't even need a burlap sack.
Yeah.
And you go down. It's like that there, but depending on which slide. So you've seen the slides that are multiple slides in a row, right? Like yes. Kids can go down any of them.
Right.
Depending on which one you get in is kind of the plane that you live on in life. You know how there are people who have different energies, right? And I feel like there are people who are living in different planes. And maybe you could relate that to how many lifetimes they've had, how, like, you know, how close to the cosmos, how earthy, like all of that. But there are people for whom, like, we will never come into contact with because they're on a different plane. Or people who might totally not even see you walking
down the street. I had this same theory with my friend Brian in college.
Tell me, what are you saying?
Well, that we were just on different planes. We were like, we're here and Jerry Garcia is like way up here.
Uh-huh. Oh, really? You think you and Jerry are that far away?
You know, I've covered some ground, but no, Jerry's still pretty higher up there.
Uh-huh.
You know. Yeah. He's tapped in.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's okay. What I'm talking
got
about.
Got it. Planes of existence.
That,
got it.
You come in on the slide, and that's based on your plane of existence.
Got it.
Then you get
do
here.
Do you all land at the same place, or just physically you all land
they
the
all
same
land
place?
They all land in Texas.
All land in Texas. Got it. Yeah.
And then they scoot, like, fast. Like in how in
fast armadillos.
No, like in Tremors. They go.
Got it. Got it. Yeah, Tremors. Yeah, which is also in Texas, I think. Right? Maybe.
Probably. Yeah. Where else?
Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glad we were aligned on that. Yeah.
That's cool. It's cool. What did you told? You told me we were the same person this morning. Because what? Oh, because you brought me the necklace that I took off 2 days ago, and you brought it up, and I was like, I was just about to ask you to bring that up, and you're like, because we're the same person.
There we go.
Easy.
Life explained. Okay, okay so we come in a slide in the cosmos.
Yeah, you don't all go to Texas. You don't all go to Texas.
But we go under the ground, either in Arizona or Texas, like Tremors.
Like fasties. No, you come down into your the person who's gestating you.
Got it, yeah.
Isn't that cool that everybody's born out of a body?
It's amazing.
Is that true? Have we gotten to the point? Wasn't there a lamb that was born?
Maybe. Definitely not with a human.
Yeah.
Well, if there has, it's highly classified.
Top secret.
Yeah.
It's in that zone with which is the alien zone. The 42.
Area 51?
Area 51.
Yeah.
Did I say 42?
You know, I always saw Area 51. It's probably just a bunch of boring stuff goes on there. And then we've just fantasized about it for so long.
I love how, but I do love when stuff becomes, everybody knows Area 51 is where they're, is it studying aliens or hosting aliens?
More like studying. There's been like, you know, they have aliens there that, you know, have crashed and we've recovered kind of thing like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So every human's born out of somebody's body. So yeah, your soul searches out the person that you are meant to be. So you're kind of on a quest. When you get closer, you start to meet with the person and the soul comes in, lands in the body. You're born, lots of different ways to give birth. And if you survive, what happens next? I don't know. Like, it's like, that's the short part. You have life.
Getting here.
Getting here and all that. That's the cool part. You get here and you have life, but you're on your plane.
Yeah. I saw a cool commercial this morning in the gym locker room, and it actually was pretty powerful. It was a woman who was like clearly a professional dancer in a dance studio. And she was kind of just like swaying and dancing. And I don't remember all the specifics, but the message was, I don't even remember what it was for, but the message was the two most important points or the two most important experiences in your life are the moment you're born and the moment you figure out why you were born.
Ooh. I mean,
and then she starts like
tears.
Dancing, you know, and that was like why she was born. I thought that was so powerful.
You're crying too.
Yeah. So powerful. The moment you're born and the moment you figure out why you were born. Your purpose.
Don't you hope that everybody figures out why they were born?
I hope that everybody has the opportunity to figure that out.
Good God. End of podcast?
End of podcast.
Yeah. Blessings to you, dear listener.
Well, I mean, it's also, I think for me, it creates a little bit of fear, too, in the sense of, have I figured that out? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then you get into all, like, a whole real heady conversation around purpose. Well, can you have multiple purposes? Some people have just one.
That's others so funny have you multiple. Call it a heady conversation. I think existential conversations are very spiritual.
Yes, I agree with that. I also have been really focusing a lot in my therapy, which I'm now clearly, because I'm talking about it literally every single podcast we record, on my head and my heart and my body, like different things that I'm experiencing. And if I start to talk about purpose, it is a spiritual, but I'm very much in my head space. I'm very much in, for me, I'm very much in my like analysis, this, like, you know, oh, what's the logical thing of this and what makes sense? And, you know, how do I fit all this together in a narrative that blah, 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 blah.
I think that the idea of can I have one purpose, multiple purposes, that's a very human way of describing it. I think that's a kind of a 101 version of purpose. I think it's something bigger. I don't think it's the same for everybody. I had a friend who went to an Al-Anon meeting recently, and she was telling me about it, and she said she has a lot going on in her life, a lot of things going on. Like, you know, some things are, you know, big, like family with medical issues, new baby, sleeplessness, etc., a big family, but some are just to-dos, like running a business and doing all this stuff. And she said there were no meetings that she needed to go to. She wanted to go to a meeting. There were no meetings available except for this one that when she went last was very unhealthy. People were cross-talking and it just like had a lot of disorganization. Things that are in the traditions and principles of the meeting were not being followed, made it kind of unhealthy. Like you're not going to get good recovery, in her opinion. That was the only one available. So she goes and it's a newcomers meeting and all this stuff. And it was a bad meeting in her opinion. Didn't feel good. And then at the very end, what did she say? Somebody was like, so where, you know, do you go to normally go to a meeting? She says, yeah, I normally go to this meeting, blah, 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 blah. And then somehow she brought up the traditions and they were like, oh, you can study the traditions, which the traditions really help like keep the meeting healthy and also how to interact with other people. The steps are about yourself and the traditions are about your community. And then at the end, she was like, that's, well, her initially when it was going on, she was like, no. God is with me. God is with everybody here, even though it was a cluster. At the end, she said to me, and that's why I was there. So that was her purpose in that moment, to support those folks in their recovery through potentially creating a path towards a healthier meeting.
Mm-hmm. You're saying she gave the meeting a second chance.
Shit. She did, but I don't think she's going to. She said maybe in a decade I'll go back and hopefully it'll be good.
Understood.
She felt a purpose. Sensed a sense of purpose. Yeah. And you know what's interesting is she could have left being, even having said that to that person, she could have left being like, waste of my time. Because she had options. She had other things she could be doing. Waste of my time. But she didn't. She connected in with the purpose. So that's part of it, babe.
Yeah. No, that is beautiful and I agree. I think for me, in kind of this modern world and where there's a lot of advice giving in like the, I'll call it like the post-life coach generation, there is...
Are we post-life coach?
I think we probably are now.
Interesting.
You know, it was, I mean, not that, of course, life coaches still exist, you know, all across, but like, you know, that was really a height in, you know, the 2010s through, you know, it was a big, big thing.
Last month?
Yeah, the last month. But like, you know, where it had just this big kind of directional impact on society to where now, you know, 30 to 50% of what you engage on is social media is like these kind of like hacks and how to do things better and, you know, becoming this and more efficient in this way. You know, all of that kind of spawned from like, you know, just this kind of efficiency mindset, life coach mindset, how to live the best life, eat the best food, have the best spiritual practice, you know, do all the best things. And for me, there's a lot of pressure around that. And I think there's so much stuff out there around like finding your purpose. And there's also so much stuff around, you talk to a lot of people who, a lot of successful people that talk, or at least they're good at public speaking. They talk about how like, if you are purely yourself and you find something that you love and you just do that and you do that and you commit to it, you will be successful. I don't disagree with that. I think that is totally right. But it places a lot of pressure on finding that thing that you love and fully committing to it and being yourself. And it's a good framework to push forward. I don't disagree with it, but for me personally, it places a lot of pressure on me to do that thing. And if I find something, is this it? What if it's the wrong thing? I don't know. And that's, you know, like, that's my own personal struggle with it, but like, I just find generally a lot of that stuff just, again, places a lot of like pressure to like find the thing, find your purpose, you know. And I do also desire, you know, ease and peace and joy in my life rather than drive and purpose and vision.
Yeah, I think that's great, babe. I think a lot of people forget the value of what you just said, ease and peace and joy. How many people compromise trade, you know, drive for joy?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people. So at the end of the day, you've explained Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and life.
I didn't explain life. Explained life.
No, you explained
life. I now know how I got here. Cosmic
burlap sack
into Texas. Tremors. Through a tremor worm into my mom's belly. It's birds and the bees, baby.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
What I love about it, and I agree with, is this spiritual cosmic nature to a child picking their parent, as well as like the spiritual nature of finding your, you know, your purpose or your passion in this world.
There are a lot of tragic family situations that place people in a position to experience a lot of pain. It's always important to acknowledge that. And it is horrifying to think that some people have to crawl out from the depths in order to find their purpose. Like you said, that I hope that everybody has the opportunity to find a purpose in life. I think also what you're talking about is, no matter how small, you're seeing these people who, you know, who knows what plane they live on. Some may really be like really just living on this amazing plane that however they experience life, not that it's not full of suffering and trials and tribulations, but just that they're living on maybe a different plane. And then they're trying to offer down, just in the same way that, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh's trying to offer what he can to people who may not experience his lifestyle and or what he experiences. But I appreciate, babe, and I hope that you can also feel that your purpose is your purpose, and maybe it's already been realized. It's not going to be a point or a moment in time that defines, you know, it's not going to be super specific that then you can even trace it back to. Mm-hmm. I mean, geez, if you think you need a purpose, you should just look at me. You've given so much to me that feels very purposeful as a recipient of that. You know, a lot of people, I was just talking with a friend who, you know, she's talking about desiring a relationship and finding that over and over people are just not matching her, you know, energy and excitement for life. And, you know, they're just not good energetic matches. They're kind of falling short. And then they kind of fall off the radar, and it's super disappointing for her. And I think about how I knew that you existed, someone like you or you, I knew that you existed, but I also didn't know if that was going to be my reality in this lifetime. It's like, you know, it's the same way when I was 5 and I was like, I like this dog, this family dog, but I know I'm going to have my own dog. And I knew Trouser existed somewhere. And, you know, I also don't know what life's going to bring me. So it's like she could have existed in some past or future life. So, you know, I think there's, you know, there's a lot of ways in which people want to have that kind of realized whatever. But it's very important to me to note that you and I have this, and that is extremely purposeful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What we have.
Glad taken. That's not enough for you. You're like, I don't know what my purpose is. Can't find
well,
it anywhere.
This is guilty as charged. Everything you said is absolutely correct. I mean that, and I think it is my own work that I place too much pressure on myself without seeing what is already in front of me, and that I already have a lot of incredible purpose in my life. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I think it's biological that we want to grow and change and learn. And so it's interesting. You know, it was this morning when I was driving Neo to school, we ended up in traffic and he said, "We here?" And I was like, "Not yet. We're stuck in a little bit of traffic." And then we would slow down again and "We here?" And I was like, "Not yet." And he was like, "We here?" And I was like, "Yes. We are here. We are here. Right now, in this present moment, we are here."
Please tell me he said, "Okay."
Okay. No. I think he was just taking that in.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was taking that
in. He was computing.
Yeah.
I said, instead of saying, "You can do it," I said, "You're so capable." Then I realized, you know, do you know what that means? He gets so quiet when he doesn't know what something means.
Yeah.
Rarely does he say yes and take a chance on answering.
Yeah.
You know what two words were coming to mind real quick?
He's not a bullshitter. What?
He's not a bullshitter. But I also think he has, I've noticed, inherent embarrassment. I don't know if it's inherent shame or embarrassment, but you know, he falls and he does the thing where he just lays down like possum. He's like, nobody's looking. Then he looks around and it's interesting. And then he gets up and he goes, "I'm okay." And I was just like, you know, it's so interesting that when you lose control and you do something like that and you fall down, that is so inherent that mm-hmm. you would feel ashamed or shy or just embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love that. It makes me sad, but I also see it as inherent, and I don't know why that is. I mean, it's like a weakness, and biologically we don't want a weakness.
Yeah, and well, you have to, all of those things, I think, as you're saying, inherent and exist, and I think it's important to develop relationships with them. You know, this idea that, like, I don't experience shame or embarrassment, it's just not true. What I think that you experience shame or embarrassment, but you have a strong enough, well-established enough relationship with it that you understand how to embrace it and how to continue to move forward or navigate it, you know?
Why do you think you're tearing up so much?
I'm not tearing up.
Uh-huh. So those leftover tears?
Well, I...
From the commercial 20 minutes ago?
From the commercial. I don't know. I'm just emotional today.
Same. Feeling emotional.
Yeah, feeling emotional today.
So when I wanted to come back to something, because this is really important, and I've talked to you about it before, but this, when I was saying to Neo, I was saying, "You're so capable." And I said, "Do you know what capable means?" And silence. And then I was saying that he doesn't always take a chance on answering it. But yeah. I was saying, like, a shot at it or take a stab at it. Wow, how many times, like, jump the gun,
kick pull the trigger,
kick the bucket. It's so violent, and I am cutting that out.
Love it. I will do my best with that with you too, and we can hold each other accountable.
What ends up happening is the phrase becomes longer. It doesn't have as much of a punch to it. It doesn't hit so hard. I mean, wow. It doesn't have, like, it ends up sounding not quite as oomphy. And
which shows how limiting our language is also sometimes too.
Yeah.
That is, we don't have words for things without using words that also mean violence.
Woof. So what's...
Super, I mean... Again, that's we mentioned peace earlier. I mean, it's a practice in peace we know how important language is across the world and in societies, how language has changed over time. You know, I'm sure if we listened to somebody speaking 400 years ago, we would have a really hard time understanding them, and they would have a really hard time understanding us. Like, mm-hmm. even though we speak, quote unquote, the same language, it's a different language. Mm-hmm. And so it changes over time, and hopefully we can begin to, just like how people are, you know, people get all frustrated now about, oh, I can't say the right thing, or, oh, I don't know this. Yeah, it's because change is hard, and that's okay. And we're also planting the seeds here of changing language around making people feel more accepted into society. And we don't say words anymore. Oh, I can't say anything anymore. Because those words were harmful to people. And
you know what? In the same way that these violent words are not.
The world will be a better place in 50 years when they're just not a part of the lexicon of, you know, of words that are used typically. We used words 50, 100 years ago that we would not use now. And you know what? People are, I think it's better. The world's better because of that. Mm-hmm. And we probably use words today that we shouldn't be using. And, know, and
I mean, you watch your favorite movie from 10 years ago, and right. It is not
the way people talk. And then now we know and we recognize because of communication the impact that that was having on people. And it's not within an effort. People think about it, it's an effort to silence people or to deny history. But it's actually like, and if it does that, like,
sometimes it's good.
I'm sorry that you're feeling that way. You know, that person is feeling that way. I do have empathy for that. I understand in my own ways. I understand, you know, as a white, Southern, straight man growing up in the South, like I understand what it's like to feel boxed in by certain things and feeling like you can't move. On the same time, the goal is not to do that. If you think the goal is to do that, you're wrong. The goal is to widen our embrace of people. I mean, it's a principle of Jesus, you know? There's room at the table for everybody. And we're trying to reflect that in our language. We're trying to speak in a way that is inclusive of everybody and makes everybody feel the most comfortable, because we know when everybody feels comfortable, they find their purpose. Mm. They find their meaning in life. And we live in a better, healthier world. Mm. That's what we're trying to achieve here. Mm. If you're stuck on that, like, the world was better this way, you know, or this, it's, and sometimes that's true. Sometimes we do need to, like, keep it simple, not try to, quote unquote, progress too much too fast. Mm-hmm. That is true. And learn from the past and carry tradition.
But also going into nature is one of the ones that we've lost. And that's not something that hurts anybody to spend time in nature.
Yeah. Just, I guess the overall arching point is think about what are we trying to achieve? And let's work together to do that. So much of it, and this is this tactic of people that don't want change, is to focus on what you're losing rather than what you're gaining.
Adam Explains Life. Great podcast, babe. You know, it's interesting. So many of the movies that we love all contain fat phobia, right? And so Sex and the City is a good example. Samantha gains some weight and she's wearing a little bit of a mid-drifty top. And I don't know, somebody pokes her in the belly and is like, whoa, you know. Somebody's had a lot to, you know, I can't remember exactly what they said. And then a second later, that's what I was thinking about, fat phobia. And then a second later, you were like, there's room at the table for everyone, which I loved that. I was like, room for everyone, no matter how big or small. And at the table where food is served. That's right. Love that.
Where community is held.
What? You're crying again? I'm crying again.
No, I'm crying because you're crying.
I wasn't crying. I'm crying because you're crying. We're a wreck. We're a wreck. Well, we're processing.
We're in life.
We're processing a lot right now.
We definitely are.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I love you.
I love you so much. Thank you for those explanations of life. I appreciate it.
Love you. Bye.
Thanks, y'all, for listening and participating. We always have a great time with you.
And if you enjoy the podcast, please go online and rate, review, share this with your friends. This is the way that we build this community.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.